everyone. Welcome to another episode of Shine and Flow. It's been a while, but here we are, just getting my energy aligned. And I'm really excited today because I have a wonderful, wonderful guest who my subconscious mind, I guess, my universe has been calling me to for a while now. And we finally made this happen. But before we get started, let's go ahead and take 3 deep breaths in and get centered and ready to receive this information coming for us. So let's go ahead and close our eyes and take a deep breath in. Out. In. Out. And in. And out. All right, everyone, welcome to another episode. Like I said, I'm really excited. I have Kelly Russell here today, and Kelly Russell is a subconscious change facilitator, and she does emotional and ancestral energy healing. So she has a lot of wonderful wisdom to share with us and a lot of really, really good stuff that can help us through hard times and good times and just overall help our energy. So Kelly, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much, Lucy.
Yes.
This is exciting.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
We talked a little bit beforehand and I already feel so connected to what you're doing here, and I'm, you know, feeling really honored to be on your podcast.
Honestly, the honor is mine to have you here with me, because you, like you said, we talked a little bit before this, a little bit, and I feel so connected to you, and I feel like you just totally understand what I'm really trying to get to as far as like energy and energy blocks and healing ourselves, and you know, how to ultimately live a life we really want to live, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I want to pick your brain. I want to learn more about what you do. I do want to share with everyone listening right now that before we did this, Kelly helped me through a muscle testing technique, would you call it?
Or a process.
A process. And I have never heard of muscle testing before. This was all totally new to me, but she really just made this like magical thing happen within myself that I had no idea. It's like basically my body was talking to me without me even consciously answering my own questions. So this might be confusing, so I'm just gonna let Kelly take over here and talk about muscle testing and what she does.
Yeah, I practice psychological kinesiology, and my background is in marriage and family therapy. And I started doing yoga and meditation and mindfulness for a long time. And then about 4 years, I learned a couple of healing modalities that have blown my mind and have opened up the door to so much that I had never heard about either.
Mm-hmm.
So muscle testing is a way, at least the way that I use it, is a way to get beyond the conscious mind, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask the body or the subconscious what is really going on in the system. And the whole idea is that within your container is every sight, smell, touch, taste, experience. It's all in there.
Mm.
And your conscious mind can, it can move through about 40 different ideas in a second you can tune into, but the subconscious is tuning into 40 million. So it's like constantly taking input in.
Wow.
And if we really ingested all that input, it would be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So it does us a service by trying to just feed us the information that is the utmost important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is actually available to us. But beneath that layer is a whole supercomputer of information.
Right.
So it's a method in which I ask your brain a question, your brain scans the supercomputer of you. If it resonates as truth, if it's something that is life affirming for you, it's a strong neural signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing an arm muscle test, so your arm is held out to the side and a little bit down, and I'm applying some light pressure on it. So if this neural signal is very strong, we call it a muscle lock. Your arm holds in its place.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I ask your brain a question and your brain scans the supercomputer of you and it resonates as false, that's inaccurate, or it causes stress in your system, then it's a weak neural signal. You're trying to attempt to hold your arm up. Because of that weak signal, though, the arm goes down just like a wilting flower. And you're trying to hold the arm up,
right?
But it becomes a binary code. So we can talk to the body, talk to the subconscious, talk to your innermost self. Sometimes I even ask your highest self to be in charge and answer all these questions. That's what I prefer.
Right.
And then we can really get to the bottom of what's really going on inside. We can get a yes, no, a true, false. And does this cause a disruption in your system when I have you say a statement or if I ask you a question? It's like your very own built-in truth detector.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah. And I love how you said it's kind of like a big computer and your brain is scanning it, your body's scanning it. And we have this. To me, what's mind-blowing is that we have this wisdom inside of us at all times, yet it's like we don't know how to access it, or we're just totally clueless that it's there. And you know, like in my case with anxiety and things, like you're looking outside of you to find the answer to what's going on inside of you.
Yeah. And this is a way that we can ask yourself, what is really going on that's causing that symptomology to express itself?
What do you need? And your body knows the answers.
It
so
does.
While you were helping me through this, I didn't know I knew the answers, but what was the question that you asked me about?
We got to a fork in the road when I was asking your system questions. And my next question was, does Lucy have conscious knowledge of what this is? And your body said, yeah, she does. and that just means we need to dig a little deeper. Like it's information that is available to you, but you have to look in there and find it. And something that I love saying is you don't have to know, but you have to guess. So you start guessing and then we muscle test. And one of those guesses is going to be the answer.
Right.
So it opens up the door of possibilities, because sometimes people get frustrated. They're like, I don't know. I don't know what my body's going to say. But we start ruling out and asking a bunch of questions, and then we narrow it down. And pretty soon we figure out through, sometimes I'm like a detective, you know, figuring out what is really going on.
You're digging and trying to really get to what it is.
Yeah. And in this case, you did know. And we gave it just a few minutes or moments.
Yeah.
And you did come up with the answer.
Which was shocking to me, because when you told me, your body knows, your body just told me it knows. It's like, what? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's causing this. But it said it did.
And it was something really profound that we uncovered.
Yeah. And it was this deep connection to other energies. And you know, I want to touch upon that. And I know you're an expert in this. You were talking about what did you call it? Oh my gosh, it's slipping
it's
my
okay.
brain.
Call it whatever you want and then we'll figure it out.
Oh, I love it. You're awesome. The global subconscious or
like a collective consciousness.
Yes, collective consciousness. So I am like really tuned into that, and I'm a huge believer that everything is energy, and we are just big walking fleshy balls of energy. Like we are energy incarnate, basically. And I love the idea that, you know, we're all connected through that energy.
We are.
And you talked a lot about that collective consciousness and how you can have you have clients who are in different states, yet you can connect to their energy. That was, wow.
Even across the world, I'm working with people in India, working with people in Portugal. And it's the same idea of when you're thinking about somebody that you haven't seen in 20 years, and all of a sudden they reach out.
Yes.
They find you on Facebook, or they reach out to your parent and they say, oh, I'm trying to get in touch with so-and-so.
Right.
It's the same thing. You're just pinging them with your intention, and it is all connected.
I think that is something so amazing to think about, is, you know, and it also kind of gives you that sense of responsibility of like being the best
what you're putting out there.
Yeah, what you're putting out there. Like you said, you walk into a place and you can either feel the good energy or the bad energy, and you're also sending out energy. So do you know how far energy waves go from...
Well, I know even with the heart, it's beyond 15 feet. And what I read is that the only reason we know that it doesn't go farther than that is because our instruments can't measure farther than that. So it's possible that it goes beyond 15 feet. But as we know that I'm working with clients around the globe, I'm connecting to their energy field and I'm receiving answers from it. Mm-hmm. It's not bound by what we would call space-time.
Wow.
It can be accessed and touched.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. It's like its own realm of existence, right? It's like it doesn't even tie into our concept of time or distance or anything. It's just like its own field.
Yeah.
And it's out there.
What about like a parent who has a horrible feeling about a child and the child is in a car accident?
Yeah.
They can feel that energy. Something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but I just have this overwhelming sense that something's off.
Yes, totally.
So that's receiving a feeling that way, that energetic Wi-Fi.
I love how you say that, energetic Wi-Fi. Is that energetic Wi-Fi kind of like your gut feeling? Like when people say my gut, is that different?
Because that might be the neural impulses going on within you. That can be your inner knowing, like that gut feeling. Mm. This can be your inner warning bell going off. So I think that can be different than me tapping into somebody else. Mm-hmm. But maybe if your warning bell was going off and I were very connected to you, I might go, I feel like something might be going on with Lucy. Maybe I should reach out and send her a text and see if everything's okay. So it could be possible, like if you're in a state of distress and we're super connected, I might be able to sense that.
Yeah.
Or if I tuned into you intentionally and I asked the question, I could muscle test myself and say, is there something going on with Lucy that I need to reach out to her for? And then I can receive a yes or no response and then reach out to you.
I think it's like your superpower. It's so cool that you can, you know, muscle test yourself and just be able to figure out what it is you need to or should or want to, you know, it's like.
And anyone can do it. Anyone can learn it. And the more I get into it, I think, wow, this might be what mediums do. They just do it through intuition with an inner knowing where I'm using a muscle test to gain access to it, but we might end up with the same result.
Right.
Because I can figure out something's going on with a person and it was an event and it was at a particular age, but I'm doing questions and answers through a muscle test, whereas they might just get the knowing appear to them.
Yeah.
It's just maybe a different tool.
Yeah, just a different approach. Yeah. But I think both are amazing, but I really like your approach because my brain works in a very science type of way. Like I love having evidence and facts and learning and researching. So to me, like the neural connection and your body knowing what's good for it and what isn't and how it talks to you, to me, that's like really fascinating, the science behind that.
On my website too, innermostsherpa.com, I have a whole little section that's based on the research behind, and it shows the brain mapping that was done and different articles about it. So for those, because there are certain people that really want to see, how can you prove that this works? Look at the science behind it.
Right.
That might be a good place that people might want to go to check it out.
Oh, I'm totally going to geek out on that. Yeah. I'm so excited. I love learning about those things. Yeah. And I feel like just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there, right? And
but also sometimes it's good to see if someone can prove it, then it's double bonus.
That's right.
Not only do you have faith in the process and it works, but then you can see science to back it up.
Exactly.
And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, to what we were talking about earlier, our society and how we're kind of guided and taught since an early age in school and everything to function like machines and kind of turn off that intuitive side of us and our emotional being and energetic being, right? I really, I think it's really important that we tune in to this collective consciousness and this energy. And I think that's the only way to really bring about like lasting peace in the world.
Big, massive change.
Right. Yeah. So why do you think it's important that we connect to that inner knowing and that energy?
Wow. I think
that... You're like, loaded question.
I love it. Well, all the pain and illness and stress that I see, I think, is a result of not tuning into that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
A lot of people are not being honest with themselves. And a lot of fear about not being honest with themselves, it has to do with relationship to other. Mm-hmm. And in the not long ago past, we could be shunned from our group in a way that we could get sent out, we could get hurt, we could get sent away, we can get killed, we can get put in prison if we were other than. Mm-hmm. Even those that had ideas that were different, scientific ideas, right, were stoned or imprisoned, you know. So it was a very real fear. Mm-hmm. But thank goodness we live in this day and age and time, and we can fully express ourselves and be totally different and out there and mm-hmm. have different ideas than the cultural norm, and we can survive. And yeah. if our current tribe, like let's say our current friends or family don't agree with us, and even if they shun us, we can find a new set of people that to connect to, because we have this wonderful internet where we can share ideas.
Right.
And so if our current situation isn't working and we're not accepted, we can seek out a new one where we can be accepted. So I think we're seeing more freedom than ever before. Mm-hmm. So why not be radically honest with ourselves and with each other? And when we do that, suddenly a lot of these things that are going on with stress, illness, pain, they miraculously go away when you start addressing what that discomfort is inside,
or yes.
ways in which you're not being truthful with yourself, or what you're doing in the world, or what job you have, or exactly. how you're relating to people.
Oh, I love this. I'm yeah. getting chills, because it's like, yes, that is so dead on. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying about just being radically ourselves, mm-hmm. and you know, all these symptoms are, I think they're symptoms. It's almost like the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. and it's like psychosomatically brought on, you know, someone that has chronic migraines, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. or your friend on what you and your husband, the radical enlightenment, mm-hmm. how you were talking about your friend that couldn't heal and couldn't heal.
Yeah, her back.
Her back, right? Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of, what was it, energy shifting? And yeah.
She met with an emotional kinesiologist okay. For, I think, a year and a half. But within the first few sessions, revealing what the true cause of that pain was, she thought it was the accident she was in. Mm-hmm. It turned out it was emotional pain with what was going on in her marriage. And once they figured that out and addressed that, the pain suddenly went away.
Yeah, a miracle.
After 2 years of trying to heal it with Eastern, Western medicine and getting surgery, which was ineffective, finally, this was like the 10th type of healing she sought out. Mm. And luckily she didn't give up, and then finally figured out, wow, it was emotional. And then once it was identified and she made some adjustments, the pain suddenly didn't need to express itself that way anymore.
She was able to let it go.
Well, it happened because she was not being honest in her relationship. For example, if she spoke her truth or she spoke up for herself in the past, it would cause a problem in the relationship. Mm. A big rift that was difficult to move through. So she figured out, I'll just keep my mouth shut and we'll get along and everything's going to be fine. Mm. But everything was not fine, because her body was sending off a warning bell. And it's saying, hey, you're not being true to yourself, you're right. not telling people what you need to say. And so once she was able, with the help of this doctor, to identify first what it was she wasn't saying, mm-hmm. and then finally to be brave enough to express it in the marriage, and then that pain went away. And then once she figured that out, let's say a few weeks went by or a few months, doing really well, and then the old pattern would rear its head, and maybe she wouldn't speak up for herself, and her back would start burning, and she would rub her back and go, oh, my back's burning, why? And then she would look and assess, where wasn't I being forthcoming, and identified it, and then once she addressed it, pain went away.
It's incredible.
And then later, she found she was a real estate agent, and the back started burning quite a bit again, telling her something needs to change. And she went back to the doctor. The doctor helped her figure out what it was, and he said, let's ask your body what's going on. And it was the career. It says, you're not meant to be doing this anymore. Your body's saying there's something else you'd rather be doing with your life. What could that be? And then they start questioning, uh-huh. and she figures out what that is. And it's something within this healing modality, psyche. And she quit her job. Back pain went away.
Wow.
So that became her signifier, like when something's off in her life and she wasn't being true to mm-hmm. herself, that pain would show up. And then when she got back on track, that pain would dissipate.
So. It's just the body speaks to us. Yes. It really does. And I think it's important to, you know, tune in to that dis-ease we might feel inside. Yeah. Or, you know, if you have this chronic shoulder pain or migraines or whatever it be, don't run to the cabinet to grab ibuprofen right away and go, you know, turn on Netflix or go whatever to distract yourself from the pain. It's like, really dig and, you know, think. Yes. What's my body trying to tell me? It's an alarm, like you said earlier.
I would sit down on the floor. You can put your back up against the wall, close your eyes, and you can say, from the point of view of my highest self, or if you believe in God, from the eye of God, the eyes of God, what is this pain here to tell me? And you can say, is there something I need to hear? Is there something I need to see? Is there something I need to know? And then you just shift into receiving mode and wait, and maybe 5 minutes. And sometimes you receive a very clear answer right away. Trust it. Sometimes you receive an answer that might send you on a path of wondering. And sometimes you might not receive an answer. Or maybe down the road. Like maybe you ask the question then and it takes a month. But in that receiving, receptive mode, something comes to you and you're thinking, oh, that's it. But it's important to ask yourself. Or you could ask yourself that before you go to bed at night and see, sometimes your subconscious computer may work on that while you're sleeping. And you may wake up in the morning and go, huh, I think it might have something to do with this. And then explore it.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. So when you said that the answer could come to you strongly, would that come in, like, physically? Would it come as a thought? Like,
it could be
how
anything.
Could it be expressed?
Yeah, it could be a thought, a feeling, an emotion, an image. Some people are more visual.
Right.
For me, it comes in a sentence. My husband, a lot of times, gets song lyrics. He'll get a song. He used to wake up with a different song in his mind in the morning, and he was just like, oh, that's so funny. And then he realized, my subconscious is giving me messages. So he would get a song, and then he would ask himself, okay, is there a message for me in the song? Yes or no? And he's self-muscle testing his hand, his fingers. And then he would pull up the song on the internet, and he'd say, is it a particular line or stanza? Which one is it? And it would come down to one or two lines. It was a message that he needed to hear.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he's like, okay, all this time I've been waking up with these songs.
Yeah.
Who knows what messages I've been missing? But you never know. Sometimes people get like a sound in their ear, or they get a sensation or a feeling. And it just depends on how your system wishes to communicate with you.
That's really fascinating. Yeah. I think we're just, I mean, I, like I said, up till today, or, you know, after reading or listening to your story and all that, I always understood what I thought I understood, energy and like a connection, but it just goes so much deeper than that. It's like, and that's what it finally clicked for me today after doing this muscle testing with you, that everything we need to know is inside of us. It's all the answers are there. We just choose to maybe not tune in, right? So you already gave me and everyone listening tips on how to tune in when maybe your body's feeling discomfort, how you can sit against the wall with your eyes closed and ask what's going on, right? What's trying to teach you.
And then just go into receptive mode and listen.
And just listen.
And see what pops in and trust it.
So I want to deviate a little bit from the topic. I want to know, like, all about how you got involved in this. So what inspired you to become a healing person?
It was that friend that I already started talking about. We used to have lunch every Wednesday. And I watched her. She went on a regular yearly hiking trip, and she's super healthy and athletic. She's a few years younger than me. And she was jumping from one boulder to the next boulder. And she's like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to land with my bent knees. It's going to be great. And she miscalculated and landed and hit her back.
Oh, ow.
Airlifted to the hospital. But they opted not to do surgery. There was a little chunk missing from a vertebra. But they said, your body's going to heal. It's probably going to absorb or work with what happened. Mm-hmm. We're not going to opt for surgery. Mm-hmm. And every week we met, she was in massive pain, and she tried so many different things and nothing worked. You know, osteopathic medicine, she worked with physical therapists, she did acupuncture, acupressure, she did this painful massage where they get into the ligaments and the tendons.
Ouch.
And she was doing that once or twice a week. Oof. And nothing was working, and finally she opted to take medication. She has four children, so mm-hmm. she needed to take them and drive them places, but she was taking now pain pills. And then she went to one surgeon who said, I don't really think you're going to be happy with the results. I'd want to do a bunch more tests before I move forward with this. And she said, no, thank you. Went and found another surgeon who said, yeah, I'll do the surgery for you. And then I was still seeing her once a week and watching her heal from that surgery. And then 3 months later, when all those sutures are healed up, the pain is still there. And then she finally, she keeps asking for referrals. She never gives up. And is finally referred to this man. He's 90 years old now. He lives in Escondido. Mm-hmm. He's an emotional kinesiologist as well as a medical doctor. His name is Dr. Warren Jacobs. And she started seeing him. And he's asking her body, is this problem a structural problem? Is it nutritional? Is it emotional? Is it mental? And her body says, it's emotional. And she said, no, it's not. I'm driving around with ice packs on my back.
Yeah, it's what do you mean? Emotional. It's physical, I feel
and
it.
And he says, okay, come back next week and we'll ask your body again. And then the next week she'd come by and he'd ask her body through a muscle test, what's going on? And her body said, it's emotional. And again, she denied it. No way, how could it be emotional? And then in working together, I'd say within 3 to 6 sessions, the pain totally went away because they were able to identify it.
Wow.
And then she continued to work with him for a year and a half because she was uncovering so much about her childhood and the inner workings of herself that she never knew. Mm-hmm. And so it was valuable. It became a type of therapy for her, where she was gaining a lot of introspection and changing her life massively.
Mm.
And so she decided, because of these changes, mm-hmm. and because her back started bothering her again, and it was saying, you need to change career, she became a Psy-K facilitator.
Psy-K.
Psychological kinesiology. And she needed somebody to practice on. And she asked my husband and I if we would want to volunteer. And we're always wanting to learn and grow and evolve. So we held up our hands. We're like, yes. So we got to receive everything. When she did the beginning training, the advanced training, the master training, we said yes, yes, yes.
Awesome.
And we were always with our hand up. So we've received all of the healing. And at the same time, our daughter, I told you this story earlier, but when our daughter was about 10, she's 14 now, she would get these blemishes on her face, mm-hmm. and then she would pick it, mm-hmm. and then it would become bigger and bigger, like a crater,
yeah.
and very painful.
Oh.
And she'd come up to myself and my husband, and she'd go, I don't know why I'm picking. I don't want to pick. I want to stop. I can't stop. And then I was looking up, how do I help my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
This is like a self-harm behavior, and sometimes they're looking for self-soothing. So I would tell her, well, instead of picking, let's get you some healing salve and we can heal yourself. We can put that on. And then there was a time she was in 5th grade and she was wearing little band-aids all over her face to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started happening. Okay. She'd get one on her leg and then on her other leg. And there was a time when I counted 7 on her body. And I said, let's take you to Dr. Jacobs and see if he can figure out what's going on. Because we can't figure out and she can't stop. And within 7 minutes, he's muscle testing her and he's saying, is something going on at school? And her body said, no. Is it something going on at home? Her body said, yes. Something between you and your mom? No. Something between you and dad? No. Something between your mom and dad? Yes, her body said. And then he said, is it something they're doing with their bodies, with their words, with something they're doing, an activity, you know? And it comes down to, it was our words, and it's because we were arguing.
Mm.
And then he said, how does that make you feel when your mom and dad are arguing? And I don't know how they came up with the word if he offered her options, but the word was anxious.
Mm.
I feel anxious when mom and dad are arguing, and then I pick my face. So he turned to me, he said, is it okay if I have the rest of the session with you? And I begrudgingly said, yeah.
You're like, and no.
Then he looked at her and said, can you wait out in the waiting room? And she said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's when the healing started. So that's when I started diving into this type of work. In the past, I had been muscle tested about 5 years prior, and I didn't really believe in it or trust it. This time, it started working. I saw it work with my friend. I saw it work with my daughter. He started asking me questions. I would have bet $1 million I had a particular answer that was true.
Yes.
My body said, no, that's not true at all. You're right. Lying to yourself.
Yeah.
And then when I finally arrived at the answer that my body nailed as the correct answer, water came out of my eyes. And the doctor said, what's going on with you right now? And I was so disconnected. I was like, water? And he said, what is that called? And I said, crying. And then the real healing started. And then he said, how do you feel about bringing your husband in? And I was scared.
Yeah, you're like,
and my husband's awesome. So he's like, of course I'll come in. And we had about 6 sessions separately, 6 sessions together as a couple. And it really got into stuff we were not even willing to admit to ourselves. Mm. It's stuff that is hidden from our conscious mind that is there to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And self-protection and the ego. And this dives right into the heart of the matter.
Wow.
So when I saw all these changes, like our relationship changed, our daughter no longer picked after 7 minutes because we changed our behavior pattern. We don't want to argue. We don't want her to feel that.
Right.
So we started changing. And then I was watching all this magic happen around me. And my friend who was the facilitator, she was telling me about all her clients, like all the healing they were going through. They were having allergies go away after a session. Panic attacks going away after a session, chronic pain going away after a couple sessions. And me, with my background in marriage and family therapy, I was like, how have I never heard of this? This is amazing. What is going on? And yes. It kept impacting me so much that I thought, I need to learn how to do this. And I didn't want to just do what my friend is doing. So I had read this book by Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's with epigenetics, and his belief is that your biology can change based on your belief, that we are taking signals from our environment and we are interpreting those signals, and that interpretation turns on and off genes, and that we can change our genetic makeup.
Wow.
So I had just finished his book, The Biology of Belief, and at the end of his book, he gives 36 different healing modalities that are in the same line as energy work and subconscious change and how to heal from the inside. So I decided I'm going to study these 36 different modalities and figure out which ones I'm the most attracted to, and then I'm going to dive in. And after studying those and going to the websites and looking at what does the founder look like and what does a session look like and is there a session I can observe on YouTube and what does that look like,
it just took you down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I went down
like
36 rabbit holes. And then I got it narrowed down to two. Uh-huh. One was the emotion code, where you can identify these emotions that are blocking your healing or preventing you from having something you want, whether it's, I want to connect with my soulmate, I want to heal this relationship with my mom, I want more prosperity and abundance, or I want to get rid of this pain that I've always had, or anxiety or stress. It's a way to very quickly, through a muscle test, identify what that emotion is that is causing the blockage. Mm-hmm. It's like hyper-focused therapy, because instead of me going and talking to a therapist, doing talk therapy for 10 years, and me using my defenses and my subterfuge and all of those abilities of my mind to hide from myself.
Yeah, your conscious mind, right? Your ego kind of going overdrive.
Which just strengthens that. Mm-hmm. If I'm telling my story over and over to a psychotherapist, I'm strengthening that neural pathway. It's just making it worse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Although it's good to be heard and to be understood, which is very valuable. Mm-hmm. When I'm retelling my story over and over, it's just ingraining that old belief about myself.
Yeah.
Versus with the emotion code, I can figure out, well, what emotion is causing that blockage? If needed, how old was I or that person I'm working with? What was the issue? And it's usually one or two sentences. And then that acknowledge, bringing it to the surface to be revealed, usually does the trick. And then I heal it with my intention, and I heal it electromagnetically. So I pull that stuck energy from the field and release it. So it's like such a fast way to get to the bottom of what's causing that disturbance.
Yeah, right. And it's the subconscious mind, right?
It'll help us identify where it is. But uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, there is a blockage there. Like, I think emotions are meant to be felt, experienced, and then released. I look at it like a big wave, those big wave surfers.
Yeah.
You feel this crescendo, like, oh no, here comes this emotion. Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling it, oh my gosh. And you're meant to fully feel it.
Right.
And then on the other side of that is the release. But often we are trained, shove it down, it's not appropriate. Or, I need to go to work right now, I don't have time for this. Push, 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 shove it down. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I don't want to deal with this right now. I need to put on a happy face. I'll just push that inside. Like, sometimes we don't even do it consciously, but it's just something that is done. Mm-hmm. And that becomes stuck energy in the field. It disrupts our field. So that can cause stress, illness, pain, discomfort, blockages.
Yeah, because you're not fully experiencing what is happening in that moment.
And Dr. Bradley Nelson, he developed that method. There are certain people that can see it like a dark spot on the field. And he says it's like the size of an orange or a grapefruit. I don't have that ability to see it. Wow. But I can ask a person with a muscle test, where are you holding that within your body? Yeah. And we can ask, is it above the waist or below, on the right side or the left? And sometimes it'll lead us to a person's right knee. And a person will say, I've always had pain in that right knee. And then we release all the emotional blockages there, and suddenly the pain goes away.
It's like there's a big, it's like a pipe, right? A drain, and there's like a big clog in it.
It works the same way that acupuncture might. They put in a needle because there's a disruption in the energy field. They want the energy to flow freely. Mm-hmm. With that needle, it stimulates the area. Now you've got a free flow of energy there, and that can heal the area. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. And all these beautiful tools are available. I'm not saying one is better than another. It's just, you never know what might heal a person. It could be a sound bowl healing. It could be doing a silent retreat for 10 days out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I've done that.
It can be a special meditation. It can be the work that I do. It could be, you know, it could be anything.
But there is healing to be had, right?
Yes.
That's like I think the most important thing is for people to not feel discouraged or like they're broken beyond belief.
Just like my friend, don't give up.
Right.
And then that other modality I found was called Psyche, which turned out being the same one that my friend does because I liked it so much.
Yeah.
And it's a way in which we can identify how you would rather feel, what belief would be empowering and strong and life-affirming. Mm-hmm. And we have many little processes that are about 2 to 5 minutes to do a pretest to see, do you believe it or not yet? Does it resonate as truth within your entire being? Mm-hmm. If not, I ask your highest self, is it safe and appropriate that we change that? And if your body says, yeah, we can change that, then we can create a shift. And we do things that balance the right and left hemisphere of the brain to activate around this new thing. We do a little process. And at the end of those 5 minutes, and usually the process ends by me saying, wait until you feel or notice a mental, emotional, or physical change. Once you notice one of those things, open your eyes and we're going to check it out. And we do what's called a post-test. So then you would say that belief again with meaning and conviction.
Right.
And we see if now that resonates as truth within your whole being.
Yeah. Is your body experiencing that as the truth?
It's truth.
Or is it still like, no?
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like I tried something and it felt really uncomfortable where right before bed, I told myself, like, you are perfect. You are love. You are amazing. Like all these things, right? And my body, like, it just didn't like it. It kind of like...
It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
It like, wants to argue for its limitations.
Yes. It twitched. It was like, no. Like I was saying those things and I felt so uncomfortable.
Yes.
And that was weird to me. I'm like, why am I having that feeling?
That's exactly
why is my body like putting this off?
And then I just helped them through a process where we can move through that together and create the necessary internal shifts for your system to understand the new deal.
Yes. And to really believe those things.
And then we go back to make sure that that is now testing as strong. And then people say, are those changes lasting and permanent? And unless there is some secondary gain, or until you no longer need that anymore, I say yes. Those are lasting changes. Like, for example, if somebody has fibromyalgia and they're in pain all the time, and then I work with somebody to relieve all those symptoms and establish all the positive beliefs to support their healing, mm-hmm. and the symptoms go away, and there you go, wow, this is amazing, I feel great. Sometimes a symptom might come back, and they might come back to me in the future and say, well, I have this pain back again. And then we would dive in there and look at that and go, well, let's figure out why. Why do you think that pain came back? And some of the things that they're noticing are, well, now nobody's coming over to check on me anymore and see how I'm doing. My sister never calls me anymore. My neighbors used to bring me casseroles and they don't come anymore. Now I can't get disability insurance anymore and I have to go back to work. And in this climate, I don't know if I'm going to find a job. So there are these other pulls that their system, it benefits them to have that pain to keep them stuck because they're getting rewarded. They get rewarded with people caring about them and showing them love.
Their disability check, and
they really have to be able to give that up. I told you right before we started about this woman with migraines, and she was having severe weekly migraines. She was on medication. Once a month, they were so debilitating, she'd miss 2 to 3 days of work. Mm-hmm. And when we asked her body what was going on, what was the reason, her body said, it's your stressful job. She was working in the tax industry, and there were times of the year that were so ultimately stressful, and she wanted to do something else with her job. But then she said, well, then I'd lose this big house and this big car and this swimming pool and all my new clothes. And I'm not willing to do that. And I said, there's nothing I can do then.
Right.
So yeah, you sometimes there is, you know, there is this secondary gain that they're receiving based on that pain or stress or illness. It keeps them stuck. But other than that, I see the changes as very lasting and fairly permanent.
Yeah. And I mean, when we choose the alternative, it's like, at the cost of what?
Exactly.
Right? At the expense of, like, your body is literally telling you, this is not what you should be doing with your life or where you should be. Or I don't want to say should or shouldn't, right?
I know. That's,
yeah, I felt cringy saying that. But I mean, it's your body telling you
it's
something.
It's not in your best and highest good.
There you go. That's beautifully said. Yes, exactly.
I know. And I think you have to reach a part of your life where you're so uncomfortable that spurs you to want to seek out a change, because it's usually a pretty massive change, and it can be a little bit scary and uncomfortable to do that.
Totally.
But things have to get so bad and uncomfortable that you are spurred to growth.
Yes. And you hit rock bottom and you're just like, enough. Right?
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
Done.
And then you might seek out those alternative healing methods that you didn't first of all. Mm-hmm. And then you might find that thing, and you have to believe that it could work, because if you go in believing this isn't going to work, just another failed thing, that is going to be exactly what you receive.
Yes, you're already putting that out into the energy field and the universe, and that's what's going to happen. You're manifesting that it's not going to work for you.
Yep.
So
you have to at least have a window of possibility open.
Yeah.
And give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Why not?
See what your body has to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just amazing to me. It's like almost this like secret language that our bodies speak to us, and not a lot of people talk about that. That's not a conversation you hear every day, but it's so there.
Yeah.
Like the energy speaks to us, our bodies speak to us, our subconscious thoughts that randomly pop up, like your husband waking up with songs in his head. It's like everything has a purpose and a meaning. And it's so easy for us to get distracted with everything going on day to day that we're just like, oh, it's just a dumb thing I had in my head, or like a random pain in my body. It's like, it's not random, right?
And the conscious mind, the job is to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always on alert. Be careful of that. Look out over there. Unsafe.
Yeah.
And there have been so many studies where they have people hold a little ticker in their hand, you know, like something you would use for, you're going into a big event at a stadium and somebody wants to check how many people are coming in.
Right.
They're clicking the button. So they've had people do that with their thoughts to see if they're, how many thoughts in the day.
Oh my gosh.
How many thoughts are negative, I'm doing air quotes, and how many thoughts are positive. And 80% of our thoughts tend towards the negative. And I would guess that's because we are in protection mode.
Yeah.
Right? But 99% of those things never come to fruition. So we're just spending our time in worry mode. We're worrying about things. And that's what anxiety is. It's worried about something that has not happened yet. And you think, if I look at every possible scenario of what might happen, I'll be safe. And that is faulty thinking. Mm. So our brain can sometimes be a faulty computer.
Yeah.
And then what happened with me in that process is that, you know, when I started working with the doctor and tears started coming out of my eyes, and I would have bet $1 million I had one response that was the answer, and my system said something else. For about 2 weeks, my whole world had been like the rug was stripped out from under me. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe my thoughts. I was thinking, well, what else is my mind not telling me? What else is going on?
Question everything.
Can I believe anything? What's going on? Yeah. I was in a state of distress for probably 2 weeks. And then I entered this huge, huge, like quantum leap of awareness where I thought, oh my gosh, I don't have to believe what my mind is saying. I don't have to believe.
Whoa.
I don't have to believe what my mind is saying, because it's saying all these stories and it's trying to keep me safe.
Yeah.
And it's trying to self-protect and it wants my ego to be intact. So what if I didn't have to believe those stories that are 99% of the time not true anyway? Then what do I do?
That's so liberating
it
and scary.
It was so liberating.
Right?
Because I went through 2 weeks of fear and then total liberation.
Yeah.
Giddy laughter.
Yeah.
And then I went to a phase, and I'm still kind of there now. And I know the heart and the mind must work together. But I gave very little effort to believing the mind after that. I was thinking, I don't even know if what you're telling me is true or not. So whatever. And then I started getting into the body and the feelings, which I had been so disconnected from.
Yeah.
For most, I'd say from the time I went through puberty into that time. 4 years ago, I was very disconnected to my feelings. And so then I discounted the mind and went into the body and just learning a whole new language, like you said. Mm-hmm. And a lot of anxiety is going away because the mind is just kind of like an annoying roommate. It's like, oh, okay. So I'll just with my hand pat my head and say, oh, thanks for telling me. That may or may not be true, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm tuning into the body. For that inner knowing, that gut feeling, the hair on my arm standing up when something feels exciting or off, or the back of my neck.
Right.
How do I feel when I meet a person? Do I feel aversion or drawn to? All that empathy and intuition and emotion.
Yeah, getting more in touch with that. So how did you start going into your body from being always in your brain?
Muscle
like, how
testing.
Do you do that? Okay, muscle testing.
And my husband started doing it too. He was doing it all the time, and he is in tune with himself. Mm-hmm. He is in tune with his inner knowing. Mm-hmm. When we went to Dr. Jacobs, he would be muscle tested, and his first guess was the answer. Mine would be the 5th to 10th guess. My husband was very in tune with his innermost self.
Yeah, he was just connected.
I was very disconnected. Mm. And I would have bet, I was like, I know myself. I've been analyzing myself forever. You know, I went to school for psychology. I went to school for counseling. All of my studies were around the quality of the mind. I'm like, I know myself. Nope. So
that's so humbling.
Oh my gosh.
Because I bet your ego was like, I know me. What are you talking about?
That's exactly what happened.
And it's like, woo, humble pie. Like,
exactly,
you know nothing.
I went to that. And then I started using muscle testing and not trusting myself. I would go to my husband, can you muscle test me on this?
Yeah.
Can you see what my body's trying to say?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's in there.
Yeah.
For years, we did that. And then at the same time, I'm learning this and I'm using this method with others because I can muscle test them. I'm just still getting to know myself.
Right.
It's like, what is that? Like, physician, heal thyself, you know? But we're on this journey and I'm learning and I'm evolving and I'm growing and I'm sharing with others. And so still now I'm just getting to the point where I'm trusting my own self muscle test and I'm just using it as a tool. Like, I'm getting biofeedback. I'm having this feeling, I'm sensing something's off. I'm testing, you know, my finger test to see if I'm on target with what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm getting feedback from that. And probably like a year and a half ago, I started getting the signal in my breastbone, my chest. And if something was off, like if I call it being in alignment with myself,
yeah.
if I'm good, if I'm being centered and grounded and true to who I am mm-hmm. and relating with others in the world with honesty, I'm good. I feel open. I feel expansive. I feel great.
Yeah.
But I would start to get this warning signal in my breastbone, my sternum, that would feel like a pain, a literal pain. And I would think, something is off. That was my warning bell. Like, something's yeah. off. What's off? And I'd start looking around my life. Is it me and my husband? Is it me and my work? Is it something with my body, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking? Something with a friend? Something mm-hmm. with my mom or dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once I would identify it, and sometimes I would need the help of a muscle test or my husband muscle testing me to get to the bottom of it. And then we have all these tools to shift it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that pain would go away. Mm. And I go, okay, good. Now I'm back to that expansion.
Back in alignment.
Again. I'm back in alignment with myself.
Yeah.
And so that was my tuning fork for a while, maybe even a year, where I, if something was off, mm-hmm. I'd get that pain in my breastbone. When I'd figure it out and release it or get back on track with what I needed to do,
mm-hmm.
that pain would go away. And sometimes when I was working with a client, I could feel it. Like if they were in one of those mini processes that are 2 to 5 minutes and I'm sitting there with them and my intention is that we're doing stuff that is in their best and highest good to help them heal. Sometimes I would feel a pain when they're going through this little process. And then once they shifted the process, that pain would go away.
That energy was so connected.
Yeah.
You'd share that.
We could share it sometimes.
Wow.
And then pretty soon that feeling went away. And I think a lot of it was just me getting really good at being in alignment with myself,
mm-hmm.
catching myself when I'm going off track
mm-hmm.
and pulling myself back up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helped a lot. And yeah, now I can recognize quicker and change quicker when I'm off track.
Yeah, change the gears. Like, you know, something is off.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
so it's like it no longer needs to be that warning signal anymore.
Right.
It's gone away.
So I guess it all starts with awareness.
Yeah. What am I feeling?
Yes. Just self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I feeling? Mm-hmm. Why am I feeling?
Where do I feel it? What does it feel like?
Exactly.
Because for my husband, he would feel almost like a clogged pipe. And then like if he would release a trapped emotion, it felt like water running through a pipe. He's mm-hmm. a surfer. He's really water oriented.
Yeah, so he, right.
For some of my clients, I'll ask them, how does it feel when it releases? And they'll say, I felt my shoulders when we started were all hunched up and tight. And then when it released, I felt my shoulders roll back and my chest open. I feel like when we started, my belly was all clenched up, but then I felt that feeling go away.
Just relaxation, just letting go of that pent up.
I felt like I could take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Sometimes people feel an emotion. I felt forgiveness. I felt understanding.
I
felt letting go. So it's different for everybody. So mm-hmm. I would say the advice is just to tune in when you feel off. Where do I feel that? What does that feel like? And then you could ask, just sit down for a minute on the floor and cross your legs and close your eyes and say, is there something I need to see? Or is there something I need to hear? Is there something I need to know? And see if you receive a response. And if you don't get discouraged, because this is probably the first time you've ever done this.
Right. It's kind of, you're getting used to it. It's kind of weird, maybe.
Your body might be like, oh, you're going to listen to me now?
Yeah.
After all these warning bells I've been trying to give you?
Exactly. It's like, so after you start tuning in, like yeah. you said, and that awareness, where do you go from there? Because mm-hmm. I think this is probably where you would come in because,
yeah.
right, you get that awareness, but then it's like, okay, now what do I do with this? Like, yeah. okay, my shoulder hurts. I feel anxious. Now what? Do I journal? Mm-hmm. Do I run? Like, you know, what's next?
If you receive an answer from yourself, sometimes receiving that answer can change it right there. It can,
mm-hmm.
The message has been received,
yeah.
so the symptomology can fade away.
It's like downloaded.
Uh-huh. You're like, okay, that's what I needed to hear.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
One time I was doing a job in sales and I hated it. But I was thinking, it's good for me to push myself. It's good for me to challenge myself in this way. I'm in business for myself. It's good to know how to sell and to ask people for money.
Yeah.
So this is a good skill
for me. A good skill
to
have,
right?
Yeah.
But every time I would get up to work, I felt such a strong aversion to it. I didn't want to make the phone calls. It felt icky. I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I was away at a psyche training. I think it was my master training. And I went for a walk after. We do a lot of healing work to heal ourselves, and we practice with each other. Yeah. And so I was feeling real good. And I went for a walk before dinner, and I received this message, and it sounded like my voice, but just slightly, almost like it was coming from outside of myself, an incoming box into my inbox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it said, you don't have to do what you hate to get what you want. And it just felt powerful.
Like, you're like, whoa.
I'm like, pay attention to that. I need to remember this. I need to know this.
Stop dead in your tracks and look around. What is happening?
I was like, this is important. That sounded like a loud voice telling me something. And after that weekend, I flew home and I quit the job. And I felt great.
Yeah, liberated, because you were in alignment.
So imagine if I hadn't listened, if I hadn't even asked or been open, it could have shown up in a symptom, an illness, a problem that maybe made it so that I couldn't work. Like, oh, guess what? Now you can't work.
Yeah,
because
chronic
migraine
or something.
So sick you can't work.
Exactly.
Instead of listening to, like, you're doing something you hate. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do something you hate to get what you want.
Oh, that's just such an important message
there. Wow.
Like, you don't have to do what you hate. Yes. Like, I don't. I don't have to be miserable.
So what happened? So, oh my gosh. Yeah. So then what I would say is, yeah, just wait to see. Sometimes receiving the message, it can transform it instantly.
Yeah. So that's done.
Or sometimes you do receive a message that requires follow-up. Mm-hmm. Now you have a call to action, and now you have to be brave enough to do it. I made the call to quit. I took a leap of faith, even though I wasn't getting that income. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I get money from that. Oh no. Well, guess what? Now I'm going to... It's like that Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom where he steps.
I love Indiana Jones.
And there's no stone step, but he just trusts that the step will appear. And in the mist, he takes a footstep, and then the step appears under his foot to hold him.
I love that visual. That's awesome.
It has to be like that sometimes because it is kind of scary to say, oh no, I have to... My inner system is telling me I have to do this thing that's really scary, and I might need money. I might need the approval of my spouse, and if I say this thing, they might be mad at me, or I might need to touch base with a family member and have a really tough conversation.
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing? Yes. You're leaving your good paying job? Are you crazy? Right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have that shame and that guilt of like, oh, am I disappointing people? Like, why do I feel so wrong?
Yeah, I was working with a man one time. He's in his like 78 years old. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to identify as female and was dressing as a woman and was taking some hormones, and he fell in love with another woman. This was, I think, when he was in his 20s. And she said, I'm in love with you, but you cannot dress as a woman. You're going to have to be behaving and acting and dressing as a man.
Oh.
And if you love me and we get married, this is what you're going to have to do. And ever since then, his jobs and his careers, it was like a series of follies of he would gain fortunes and lose them and have great success and great failure. But what I noticed was common in that.
It's just not a flow.
When he was young, he wanted to be a farmer, and his parents said, you need to be an engineer. We want you to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer.
Successful.
He became an engineer. Yeah. And then when he got married, he wanted to identify as a woman. And she said, you need to identify as a man. So
it's like everyone dictated his life for him. No wonder it wasn't working.
And he was constantly out of alignment with himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think because he couldn't be fully expressed as himself, he could never truly... First of all, he wasn't doing what he wanted to in his career. And then it was constantly losing money and suffering. And my hypothesis is that if he would have been true to himself, he would have had a more congruent experience that was more successful and positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even at that age, with his wife, my goal was helping him to get more authentic and to be brave enough to say, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I hope you can love me the way I am.
Right. And it's a disservice to not be 1,000% who you're who you are in your heart. It's a disservice to the world and to yourself, everyone around you. You're going to be miserable, and you're only going to spread that miserable energy to other people, right? It's like you're not truly happy if you're not being 1,000% you, in alignment with you. There's something lacking.
And how many ways do we go against that within ourselves? And we ask others to be a certain way for us.
Like, you know, that's powerful.
In a partnership.
Yeah.
And I see relationships.
So as you were saying, we sometimes try to change those around us instead of focusing on ourselves.
Yeah. Or what I see in the partnership is why can't you be more like me? And so a lot of the arguments or the disagreements or the things that you get annoyed in are where your partner is different from. Like where you're super clean and organized, they might be more messy. Maybe one of you is really good at money and investing and the other one spends wildly.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody is really kind and soft-spoken or doesn't want to rock the boat, where the other one is outgoing and willing to risk everything and stand up for things.
Yeah.
And then there's this annoyance with the partner, like, well, why can't you do that? But really, you're beautifully suited to be together, perfectly matched. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, like, we're on the same team. Like, for example, if I receive a bill from AT&T and they've raised our rate 100%, I might be the one who's going to call them, because I don't mind like talking to somebody and telling them there's something wrong. We need to fix it.
Fix this.
And my husband's a little bit more like, he doesn't want to put stuff out there and rock the boat. He's the peacekeeper. And before, that would bother me. And then once I had this enlightenment, I thought, well, this is actually awesome, because I love doing that stuff. I can handle it. He is super like loving and sensitive and sweet, and that balances me. And there have been times when I need to write a letter to a place of work and I've been too abrasive, and he'll say, can I take a look at that email before you send it and maybe like, soften it up just a bit? And like, thank goodness I didn't send that email.
Right.
And he will help soften my rough edges.
Yeah.
So whereas before I would be mad at him where he was showing a difference, like, why can't you step up? Why don't you fight for this?
Yeah.
Now I honor it and I accept it, and it becomes a beautiful dance and partnership.
Yeah.
So I think if more people could do that, is getting radically honest with yourself, what is really going on with me, and then accepting their partner. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I hit on it before, but not if you're being abused in any way, if you're being physically or mentally or emotionally abused, that's not when you stay. But other than that, what if you could be unconditionally loving? Mm-hmm. What if you could embrace all of the beauty as well as some of the faults that may not even be false? It's just different than the way that you do it. Mm-hmm. They have different desires, different things they care about, different priorities, and it's all good.
Yeah.
And if we find really, by getting really real, that we cannot unconditionally love our partner and we wish for them to change and they need to change for you to be together, then maybe it's not the right fit. Maybe something else needs to be explored.
Right.
But those are so important, just what you brought up there, is to getting honest within yourself and honest with others and loving yourself and loving others. And
yes, accepting you and who you are 1,000%. And then that way you can accept others, because until you accept you, you can't accept anyone else.
That's right.
So I really have enjoyed our conversation today and our muscle testing we did. That was a whole new experience for me. I've never done that. Mm-hmm. And it's been really eye-opening, and I want people to experience that peace I experience, and I want people to know that they can always create the life they want, and they're not stuck by like, oh, it's in my genes to be a negative person, or you know, this and that. It's like, I want people to have that hope that there is something better for them if they want it. And I know you're a facilitator in that, and you're you heal people. So where can we find your information? How can we work with you long term? Because I definitely want to work with you long term. So where can we find you?
Yes. So innermostsherpa.com, InnermostSherpa.com.
Perfect.
And you can book a phone call. We can have a session. I recommend 90 minutes for the first one, and subsequent sessions could be an hour if needed. And I wanted to offer our listeners a special 15% off.
Woohoo!
So, yeah. Yay! So it'll be 15, the percentage sign, capital O, capital F, capital F. And you can write that down too, I'm sure, in our little excerpt about our podcast today.
Yes.
And so that would be something, a way to get started. If you have something in mind that you wish to have in your life that just isn't there, or you have some symptomology, or you have stress or anxiety that you'd like to alleviate, we can work in person and we can ask your body through muscle tests what is the blockage and release it, and we can establish those positive beliefs mm-hmm. in its place to mm-hmm. support you. And then if you are long distance, if you're not in Southern California, we can work together through energetic Wi-Fi and through both of the methods that I'm trained in, both emotion code and Psyche. In both of those methods, I'm trained to do distance work. So I will receive the answers on your behalf. You are still doing all the processes on your end. And mm-hmm. then we do a post test to make sure that those processes did work mm-hmm. and those changes did occur. Mm-hmm. And then the proof is in the pudding. You see how your life changes after that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what I really want to drive home, is that this might seem a little like, you know, not a lot of people talk about energy work and healing. And so it might be a little like, wait, what? Uh-huh. Like, I don't know what this is about, but it doesn't hurt to try it.
I know.
You know, what's the worst that can happen from trying is that it heals you, or exactly. maybe you're not ready to get that, but at least you tried it. Why not?
I asked my friend that, the one that hurt her back, mm-hmm. and she said, I would have given anything to be out of that pain. $100,000.
There you go. So like, all right, I'll charge you that.
I'm like, wait, I need to drastically increase my prices. Yeah,
exactly.
But something else really cool that I have going on is my husband had this radical enlightenment experience in November uh-huh. and he received a massive download of information and wrote a book in 2.5 weeks.
Amazing.
He was writing all day in the bathroom, in the bath, on his cell phone, typing with his thumbs.
That's dedication.
It was inspiring. Wow. It was like he couldn't get the words down fast enough.
Just
it was
in the flow,
out.
Like download, download. Yeah.
And the book is about radical enlightenment, and it is a step-by-step guide about how to expand your awareness, mm-hmm. how to release resistance, and how to elevate your consciousness to have a magnificent life. And this was an answer to my prayer. I've always been reading all this information and studying all these different healing modalities, and this was really putting it all together, like, how can somebody do this?
Yeah,
step-by-step guide. And so he and I are teaming up together, and mid-October, October 16th, mm-hmm. we are going to start some coursework, and it's called Radical Living. We're going to talk about radical balance, radical energy, radical honesty, radical empathy, radical acceptance, what we were talking about, and radical responsibility. And it will have about an hour and a half of a Zoom session together. We're going to record that, so if it doesn't work at a time for you, you can come back and listen to it later.
Great.
But we will have activities that you do within the call, and then also some homework to do, and we will have a support for you as you're going through your own enlightenment and expansion.
Amazing.
So that's available at radicalenlightenment.com.
Okay, so for the course starting October 16th, Radical Living, that is available on radicalenlightenment.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're so excited to work together with you guys to share with you all these tools that we've learned over the years.
Yeah.
And we've both been seekers over our whole lives and just gathering all this information mm-hmm. and how to help people leapfrog so it doesn't take so long. We need to wake up our planet and our people right
yes. now. Yes. Woo! I love it. Call to action. Let's go.
Let's do it. We were coming up with the programming, and I was like, isn't this some of this too advanced, these concepts? And my husband's like, I'm sick of it. We're going in the deep end. I was like, okay, I guess we're going in the deep end.
He's usually more of like the calm one, huh?
Yes. So I was like, I guess we're doing it then.
You're Let's like, go. This is how I know it's legit.
Yes. So I'm excited.
I love that. That sounds so up my alley. And I mean, everyone listening, like, why not, right? Especially during this time of quarantine and, you know, pandemic, and everything's kind of slowed down, and maybe we're trying to find new ways of approaching life because you've had time to sit down and process things. Why not give this a shot? Like, what's the worst that can happen? Let's not think like that. What's the best that can happen?
Oh my gosh. Right? Yes. That's how my husband starts his book. Like, what do you have to lose by thinking about your world differently? So, I mean, it's right in there in the first few pages.
So oh, I can't wait to read that. It. I'm so looking forward to it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kelly.
Oh my gosh, it's that was been, so much fun.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. Let me just tell you guys, Kelly and I have been hanging out today for like almost 4 hours now because we're just like all in and loving this conversation. So hopefully someone out there, you know, some one of you got something out of this or you want to give this a try and maybe you know somebody that could benefit from this or you want to share this episode with someone, please do. And you know, do you have anything else to say, Kelly, before
That's
I close it?
That's it. I'm just excited for your journey, here to support in any way. My main goal is just to help people expand and evolve and enjoy their life. So if I can be a part of that in any way, I'm here and I'm ready to assist you on your journey.
Yes, love it. Hooray. Well, thank you, everyone. Listening out there, remember to make an awesome day and remember to shine and flow.